702.
Nola knows.
Wendy Nola, happy Thursday. How are you doing?
Hi, Winnebikilia. I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good, good, good. And I think I feel like I'm keeping you busy these days.
Yes, very.
Right?
You're more on socials than I am.
Yes. So every time I bump into something on social media that is even consumer related, I always send it to Wendy. I'm like, is this true? Should we be worried? Should we talk about it on the show? And I absolutely love that also people are sharing more and more. And that means that all of us can have access to information. So Wendy, let's kick off with the very first one.
Yes. Of course, yes. I have to just say, as a journalist of too many decades, that socials are great. I mean, we in mainstream media, we rely on socials a lot. I get a lot of tips from Twitter, from X, and I'm happy to engage there. But you know, a lot of these lack context and they lack verification and the other side of the story, and they're not adapted for South Africa. It might be an overseas thing. And so that's why I like to actually take them up and do the work. And provide the full story for people, not just in many cases, just half the story. So let's start with that first one. Have we got the clip off that TikTok?
Yes, we do. And here it is.
You know that if you bank with FNB and you so happen to lose your bank card and you block it and get a new card, people can still use the lost card that you blocked to swipe. Did you know that? Did you know that they can swipe and e account your call ibe ku negative? And when is your account is on negative or their bounces and those are, you're going to be charged. Zabo quick bank charges. And then you go to the bank, and then when you try to close that account, they will tell you that you can't close an account that is on a negative. So you must pay for money that someone else used, right? Because the investigation is going to take up to 30 working days, right? And then on top of that, because the account is still not closed, it's still open, because you're an investigator, whatever bank charges you are paying for that account, they are still going to deduct bank charges from you, from an account you don't want anymore because someone has the information. Where's Grant? Did you know that? And when you call and ask, no one will know what to do. Did you know that? Well, I do. I do, because for the entire month of March, I have been fighting this. I went to the bank. I went to Hello Peter. Guess what? FNB calls me Yespeed. And the way they are so incompetent, someone from their funeral department calls me. Hi, ma'am. We heard you have a problem with your policy at funeral. I'm like, what are you talking about? Your complaint. That is how incompetent they are. So I'm like, no, I correct them. I tell them what's going on. We'll call you back. It's 3 weeks later. They're still calling me back. So I call again and again and again, these so-called investigators. And the investigator says, no, it's still pending. I'm like, I don't understand. There's no reference number they gave me. There's nothing. The investigator, a bank, must they give you so that when a reference number, there's nothing. There's nothing. And guess what? They will expect me to pay bank charges on that. Kanjan, how?
And that clip is courtesy of life coach Lundi on TikTok. I stumbled upon that and I sent it straight to Wendy to say, Wendy, is this true that you can cancel your card, but purchases can still go through?
Happen. Yeah.
Yes.
So what I said off the top of my head was what I know from taking up so many of these fraud cases over the years, and also from engaging a lot with the Ombudsman for Banking Services, which mediates these complaints. And I know their standpoint is that from the time that you report a fraud, so you block your card, you say there's money coming off your current account or whatever it is, any fraudulent activity after that, you're not liable for. They must refund you, right? Because you told them there's this problem. So that was my initial result, and a reaction rather. So I went to FNB and I said that, and the initial response I got from Senzo Inspande, who's the CEO of Card at FNB, was, we can confirm that block cards do not incur spend unless transactions are done prior to the card being cancelled, which kind of backs up what I was saying, right? Yes. So anything that happens after you report it is not your responsibility. And then he added, the client would not be liable for spend initiated on a blocked card. The only nuance is transactions authorized prior to the blocking. So I said, okay, tell me a little bit more about that nuance. Yes. Because, you know, that sort of seems quite straightforward. Transactions authorized prior to the blocking. But from what Lundi was saying, it sounded like, you know, they carried on these transactions on her card happened after she reported it. Anyway, then I was told, upon investigation, FNB can confirm that our customer was a victim of tollgate fraud, where transactions are largely offline and therefore no authorization sought from the bank. Now, there's a worry.
What
right?
does that mean? Offline.
Offline. So there are obviously certain transactions where they just go without routing through the normal, you know, having to use a PIN and whatever. But you think, no, that's what it means. If you think about it, when you don't put your PIN in when you pay, when you get, paying toll fees, you hand your card over, you watch it like a hawk, and they give it back.
Yes.
Right? So that's one of the situations. Could you imagine how long the queues at toll gates would be if you haven't to put in your PIN every time you go through a gate? But obviously that's a bit of a loophole. So, and there have been cases there, and there have been arrests and whatever around tollgate fraud in the past. We encourage our customers to notify the bank of irregular transactions on their account, right? That's standard. Accordingly, and this is the good part, we have processed reversals of amounts incurred due to the incident and have confirmed this with our customer. Mm. We thank our valued customer for their patience and we apologize for any inconvenience caused. I'm really glad I did take up that case because, you know, she was saying it's been weeks and they're still investigating. The problem is, and this happens with all the banks. I get complaints very similar about all the banks, is that there's just such a major fraud epidemic. Mm. And so all of their fraud departments are inundated and, you know, there could be an argument for they need to capacitate them more. But this is the thing. And what do we do? Well, I've said it recently on this show. We're all very busy on WhatsApp, right? But the SMSs are important to pay attention to because that's where the notifications from the banks come, right? And so you need to know, you need to pay attention because if it's not you, you need to call your bank and getting report the fraud, and anything after that then becomes for your account,
for
the bank
bank's account.
Reimburse you.
So I just had a thought, right, just based off of what she was saying, because if let's say I misplaced my card or noticed it was copied or whatever, and I quickly cancel it, I wouldn't actually want the bank completely freezing my account, right? So I just want to clarify, we're saying that the bank doesn't freeze your account. They will treat all transactions that continue as fraudulent. But how do they then find that balance between stopping transactions altogether and me still needing to live my life?
That's a good question. It could be related to stopping the card itself. So anything related to, you could still do EFTs, your debit orders would still go off, etc. It's just stopping the fraud relating to that now compromised card.
Yes. And there's a WhatsApp message that has come through here saying, very, very true about FNB. I have an unauthorized debit order going off my account and I've been fighting with them since last year. Julie says, I temporarily blocked my lost FNB card. I was robbed of 17,000 rand, all transactions at toll gates. The transactions kept going off even while FNB were investigating. I was lucky to be refunded all of the money. I wouldn't say lucky. That's just what they're supposed to be doing.
You see, the only time that you as a bank customer are responsible for or take the hit for fraudulent spend on your account or money transferred out of your account is if you hand them the frauds to what they call the keys to the safe. So you fell for a phishing scam. So you know, you thought you were talking to your bank's fraud department. Meanwhile, it's the fraudster and or you click on a link, you know, all those things that you somehow, were responsible, because you enabled that fraud to happen. But in cases such as this, you can't be held responsible because there was no compromise. It's a form of fraud that doesn't need PINs or whatever. So that's maybe I need to ask all the other banks as well about what's going on with tollgate fraud. Is this now a big thing? And that sort of thing. But yeah, this fraud is you speak to the banking ombuds as well. The majority of the complaints they get across all, you know, whether it's ATM complaints or credit card complaints or you name it, it's fraud. But I say upwards of 70%, it's around fraud. It's hideous.
And I think it's great that we take up these cases. So I think while we don't have the information of the other banks, what we would advise is that a person hold on to the fact that if I told you to cancel my card and things kept coming off, I'm not going to take responsibility for that. So the question then is, Wendy, because people get sent from call center to call center, the call cuts, the network drops, they aren't referenced now. Yes. What do you do? Who do you follow up with?
Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it sparked memory of a conversation that I had directly with the Ombudsman for Banking Services herself, Rihanna Steyn. And I said, because I had a case where somebody made the call about a fraudulent transaction and a big one too, and could literally see the money going out of their account. And was, you know, you get put on hold kind of thing. You're trying to get through, and that officer's standpoint on that is it's from the moment your call records show you made that call. So the bank should be very much invested. The banks should be very much invested in making sure that they deal with those calls that come through to their fraud lines ASAP, because anything that goes out of the account from the minute you actually made that call, according to your own, you know, your call records, you're not responsible for.
Yes.
So it's very important to know. So make the call as soon as possible and just keep trying, but also in the back of your mind, have the comfort of knowing that anything, you know, you've made the call, you're doing what you need to do, you're trying, and the call records will be your friend then in terms of what fraudulent transactions you're liable for and which ones you're not.
And we've got a call from Tsepiso in Pretoria. Tsepiso, you also had a situation with FNB.
Yes, good afternoon, Rulebukhila, and thank you. In February the 17th, my handbag was stolen. And, but on the same day, I struggled to get through to the fraud line. I mean, they want to send you an OTP and yet your phone is also being stolen with the bag. You know, which doesn't make sense. And, but we ultimately got it cancelled and, but I requested that they freeze my account because, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And lo and behold, towards the end of February, I start seeing, and the transactions don't come like every day. So you see a bulk transaction, toll gate transaction on one day. And and I started like fighting with them and even threatening that I'm going to move my account. And that's the only way they were able to reimburse me. But and then they said they'll flag it at the toll gates again. And then it happened again. And it becomes a nightmare. You know, even after.
Get up.
Even after.
Because of all the following up and that as well. Wendy, you wanted to ask something?
Yes. So you also toll gate fraud, obviously, because they don't have to have PINs or anything. So was there collusion with the people at the gates? And what were the amounts? They presumably weren't just toll amounts. They were other amounts.
It was only tolls. So it's like 14
only tolls.
Rand,
okay.
57 rand,
okay.
69 rand. But then you see that in one day, this person has used it like in three tolls. And then it's like they're going somewhere and then they're coming back and they use the same card. And it just became very irritating because, you know, you spend more money just clearing the 14 rand and so forth. But it's more the principle. than anything else.
Definitely.
You know, and it's not even about the quantum, you know, but the fact that already you feel like you've been
violated
and somebody is really violated, you know. So, so, but I was able to get mine returned last month and also the month before. Because I think they used it almost like 12 times. Yeah.
Yo, thank you so much, Tepiso, for giving that feedback. Another WhatsApp message says, Relebogile, FNB is not ahead when it comes to cybercrime and fraud cases. I've been waiting for them since last year regarding my case. I don't even know if they know what they are doing, but I'm so disappointed with them. I think the reality is, Wendy, that all of the banking spaces, wherever our money is being held, there are people whose jobs it is full time to figure out ways to beat the system. So the scammers will always be. If it's part of a syndicate, the same way that people come to their job 9 to 5, there are people sitting 9 to 5 trying to figure out new ways to bypass the security systems. The question I would ask of you, Wendy, are you seeing banks take an initiative when it comes to these security issues? Another WhatsApp coming through saying, I actually had a good experience in the early hours. I got a call from FNB and SMS to say there's something funny happening. That's when I had to look into my account and confirm the fraud, where something looks out of the norm. FNB does seem to pick them up. And I personally have also had that experience where a transaction had to go through and they blocked it, saying that it was not the norm, and they called me to say, please confirm. They even made me log into my app to confirm that it's me. They were like, you sure you're safe? You're good? I said, yes. So are you finding that not just FNB, but all the banks, are they going above and beyond to try and get ahead of all of these scams?
I can't with all, I mean, I haven't done an investigation in it. My sense, as somebody who gets a lot of complaints about all the banks from people who feel that they weren't treated well, or that, you know, they shouldn't be made to suffer the loss of the of fraud, the bank should come to the party. I can't say to what extent they are getting it right, because, you know, you've not shared that story you've told me that you've just shared on air with me.
Yes.
I only hear when things go wrong. Right?
Yes, you never hear the good news.
Yes, I have personal experience, and I'm not with FNB. I've had personal experience as well with my bank of being alerted to something suspicious, which makes you feel good. And yet customers of every bank will say to me, this, my bank is useless with security. Why this went off? Why wasn't this is unusual spend? Was the fraudster? Why didn't they alert me? So I think it's a volumes game, and that they just, you know, that it's very, 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 these are big syndicates. These are very advanced criminals we're talking about here, whose life work is to find ways to, get into our bank accounts to circumvent all the fraud measures. So yeah, I think I'm going to give it a week or so. And I think the person who would be in a good position to give that kind of feedback would be that banking umbit to see, because in terms of their figures, are they going up? Are they going down? And they meet with the banks.
Mm.
Those adjudicators meet with the banks when they have regularly about trends and whatever else. So that I will to be continued. I will give you that professional view in a little bit.
And I think we might need to give FNB an opportunity to also respond. There's more
of
messages.
Course.
One here saying, often FNB is the poorest, even if it is the only bank on earth that I want to bank with. So you have people are saying, I'm still with them, but they're terrible. I saw another person, I don't know if I had shared it with you, Wendy, who was showing that they had actually cancelled their card, and multiple transactions within minutes were going off, but the bank did not call to say, hey, this is abnormal, is everything okay? Another person saying also, I reported something going off of my account. I immediately went to the app, reported, still no reference, don't know how to follow up, waiting for them to get back to them.
Okay, that's not good. There should be very competent communications around these issues, because people are panicked, and rightly so.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I do get I don't know, we're getting a string from one particular bank today, but in my inbox, I often get, the, you know, whatever bank they're with. There's the worst when it comes to this. You know, it's kind of anecdotal. That's why I say let's get it from someone that's in a position to give a, have a view of all the banks and what's going on. I know from the Ombuds figures as well, and in terms of stats, the banks, you know, 1 month, this bank will have a huge crop and like, oh, there's something going on there. Yes. And then 2 months later, it's another bank. And they sort of take turns to be to have the worst fraud complaints, the highest fraud complaints. But yeah, just to bear in mind that a lot of, you know, when people say, make statements like they're the worst, they're the, this, it's pretty much based on their own experience. Yes. And not very sort of statistically based, just to caution on that score.
Yes. So we will come back then, because I think the main thing that everybody would want to know with all their banks is what is the
what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you what are you doing, number one? But also number two, if I've just been robbed and I don't have a cell phone on me and I'm not at the mall, how am I stopping transactions to notify you? Because if the measure is from the moment you tell us, I'm still now like, maybe I'm stranded, maybe I've been hijacked, I'm trying to figure out how to get home, I don't even have access to a number. So I think that when we do pick up that conversation, let's hear what the banking ombuds has to say. And if anybody else has feedback from FNBs, oh my gosh, so many FNB messages coming through, one saying I'm experiencing the same thing with FNB, their Uber Eats amounts coming off my account, 100 Rand, 200 Rand, and amounts
fraud.
Getting debits, 10 Rand, 20 Rand every single month. So what I'm going to advise everybody to do this little exercise, it is tedious and annoying and draining, whatever bank you bank with. Physically print your statements out and go through every single transaction. Have your ruler, your red pen, your highlighter. Anything that you don't know what it is, make a note of it. Because yes, now some of the banking apps and the websites, you can go do it. I think it's called Debit Check, Wendy. Am I correct? Where you can check.
Yeah, Debit Check.
Debit Check. Yes. So there is that, but physically go through and look for anything that does not make sense. Not just because it's fraud, but also sometimes banks make mistakes. They also make mistakes. Or sometimes there are places that where you're purchasing and you have a double debit. It's happened to me where I've had to say, guys, I didn't buy twice from this place at the same time, the same amount, and they reverse it. So I think we all need to get in the habit of sitting with our statements and triple checking. When we come back from the news, we continue with Wendy Nolan. We get on to our next story.
702. Nola knows.
We're with Wendy Nola. The lines are open. 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Now, this is your slot. Wendy Nola, I'm saying this because every time you and I say we're going to do this on the show and then another topic blows up. So we're going to go to the lines because there are already so many WhatsApp messages coming through and calls that are coming through as well. We've got Freddie in Midrand. Freddie, go ahead.
Hi, Nola. I want to be pretty quick on this one, and I don't want to mention the bank's name, but I've been banking with this institution for more than 12 years. Last year, the 5th of May, I got a call, and the call said that they're calling me from the fraud hotline. Do I know that there's money been taken from my bank account? I had a client meeting about 50 meters from the bank. I got off from my table at Mug and Bean. I walked over into the bank, keeping these people on the line, and I said to the consultant, listen, there's people on the line that said they're from your fraud hotline. Can you please check it out? They took my phone, they went to their desk, they tried to figure out who it is instead of stopping my account. And within 5 minutes, 58,000 Rand was taken from my account, including debit orders that was in the queue, was taken out of my account. That included some funds that I owed to the bank legitimately, but on top of that, 38,000 from my own funds was taken. It's this will now be its anniversary on the 5th of May. The bank still have not resolved it. I made a complaint. I have a case number. I sent it to the bank immediately within 2 hours. When I got the case number, nothing has happened. I know that the bank said to me they could see that the money has gone to FNB and from FNB to another bank. but they've not recovered or paid back a single cent. I would have been happy if they paid two rand back, but they've not given me any of the funds back, 58,000 rand.
Sure. Wendy.
Freddie. Freddie, yes? The reason they phoned, and I mentioned it just a little while ago in this show, it's called vishing. So they phone, they get you on the phone. The reason they have to phone you is they've already, through all the data breaches, and all our account numbers are available. They're from our credit records. So he had your account numbers and all of that, but what he or she didn't have was, you know, your passwords and that, right? Or your one-time PIN. And that's why they need to make a call to trick us into doing it. So I'm guessing, because you tell the story, you say you got the call and then you said, I'm going to check. But for them to have got the 58,000 out of your account, you had to have actually read out the one-time PIN from your SMSs before you actually went to the bank. Am I right?
No. I got up at a table because I know this phishing exercise is happening. And I just said to the call to my client next to me, just check for me, is this legit? And they said, it does not look legit. So I walked straight into the bank. I said, look, here's fraudsters on the line. They say they're from the fraud department. Can you please check it out? Because I've done a quick check with my colleague next to me, and they don't look legit. And during that time, it was literally 5 minutes out in the bank.
All right. So you never gave them, you never read them out any numbers from your phone, from your SMSs?
No.
That's weird, because if that was possible, they wouldn't need to make the calls to trick us. So that was very strange.
Of course. That was very strange. And you know what was even more strange? Because during that week, they approved me an emergency overdraft. And it was that, during that 48 hours after that emergency overdraft, that I suspected it was from within the bank, because it was just too strange for me.
Yo, that's a tricky one, okay. Wendy. I mean, maybe we can find out that has it reached a level where they don't even need you to confirm a one-time PIN?
Not according to me or the Ombuds office. Otherwise, why would they make the call? That's what's so odd about this case.
Yes.
Freddie, if you want to email me, it's a year later, just to find out what's going on and why they, the banks often offer a 50% goodwill gesture, they call it. But just to find out, you know, what happened in that case, you're welcome to email me.
Thank you so much, Freddie. I'll put you back to our producer. We've got Paul in Pretoria. Paul, go ahead.
Thank you, Ruhiri. My situation is this way. I was hacked on my email and ended up paying into a wrong account, and opened the case with SAPS, and on investigation they were able to trace the culprit, the address and everything. But here's my problem. The bank where this fake account was open was not cooperating with the police. And the police are saying, if the bank would have given me just a statement to say, indeed, your money was deep in that account, we could have made the arrest a day after you reported, because we were able to trace the person through their address and everything. And up to today, I've not received any response from SAPS, because the bank was not prepared to do a simple thing, send SAPS officer the statement of that account where my money was deposited.
So I'm gonna come in here, Paul, because many years ago I had money taken out of my credit card. It was transferred to banking details, and we also were unable to trace it. But I think the reason is, and the POPIA Act wasn't there at the time, but the issue was confidentiality. And I don't know, Wendy, if those types of extracting of information require court orders.
Yes, and certainly this is what's called a business economic, business email compromise, BEC, what happened here to Paul. But when the police get involved, the police with the subpoena or whatever, the banks, according to my information, do cooperate then. If it's just you and I who mistakenly had some finger trouble and you paid your money into the wrong account, and now you want the bank to tell you who owns that account and how you get hold of them, then they quite rightly cannot give you that information. There's POPIA, there's all sorts of other considerations. But when the police are actually involved, which is usually the hard part, right?
Yeah.
You've got the police involved, you've got the information. I found that very odd. and very, very frustrating for you, Paul.
Was there an investigating officer assigned and all of those things?
Yes. The investigating officer was on the case the very first day. The second day, he actually called me and they said, you know what, your case is easy to solve. We're able to get the details of this guy. Because when he opened the account, you know, he had to declare the address and everything.
Yeah.
And so they got that address. Then he said, I've just left with one document. If the bank can give me a statement to collaborate your statement, because my statement was showing that this money was paid. But then the bank dragged its feet. When I called my bank to say, that's where I opened the case. And then my bank said, look, we did everything. The case now was left with the second bank of the culprit. And then we didn't find any joint from them. And here am I, I've lost 14,000 rand. I can't get it back. And my bank says, we can't refund you because they were not involved.
I'm so sorry.
This other bank was not prepared. They were not prepared to collaborate with the police. And I asked the police, yes, we've sent them subpoenas, but they are not responding.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Please email me and let me know which bank that was and a little story so I can ask them about that, because that is just so unfortunate and unjustifiable based on what you've told us.
Thank you so much, Paul, putting you back onto our producer, Pashida.
Can I just give a word of warning about that business economic compromise? Anytime somebody sends you an email with a service provider sends you an email with a request for you to pay as an attachment, that's the danger point. Never make payment without first phoning and don't get the number off the invoice. Look up the number, phone the company and check the banking details. Because what happens is the fraudsters intercept, they hack into the email server, they intercept those invoices and they take out the company's banking details and put theirs there in that place. Mm. You don't know, you pay the amount and then the company after sometimes says, we're still waiting for your payment, and you go, but I paid. So never, ever, I really do walk my talk on this. I did it just this week. I got a thing from my tax consultant and just said, please note our account details have changed. I said, whoa, red flag. I never got any other notification. Yeah. Phoned the company. They said, no, do we have? I said, well, this is rife, this kind of fraud. Send SMSs, do other forms of communication to clients so that they aren't, you know, anxious about this. Anyway, so please never pay an invoice that you got in the email without phoning the company independently to check that those are, in fact, the correct banking details, please.
There's a WhatsApp message here just pertaining to the previous gentleman we spoke to saying maybe what they needed was not a PIN, but it was voice recognition for them to get the man on the phone. So I think we need to find out if it's at that level yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a very good observation. Thank you very much. What I've heard some victims say is when they've got the call, you need to read out that SMS with the number in it. And then they go, but you're the bank. You send it. Why must I read it? No, it's for voice recognition, they say. Meanwhile, that's rubbish. They want the number.
On
somebody's account that has voice recognition activated as a biometric for verification, and I really do hope that Freddie does email me so that I can put that to the bank and we can interrogate that a bit further, because now I've got to add another layer of warnings about those calls.
And we have more and more. Lily in Walkerville, go ahead.
Hi. I have an institution that I had a car and a personal loan, and that was in 2012. I lost my job, sent everything, but I've lost the job. So they came and repossessed the car, and after a few months, they started wanting the money, even though I was not working. Since then, it was different companies other than just the financial situation, maybe about five of them, and the institutions' recoveries. I just learned on TikTok about this prescribed debt that I wasn't supposed to pay. But they threaten you so much, left, right, and center. So I've just learned about this, and I don't know what to do because they are going to send a sheriff, and it's all about five companies other than the financial institution.
Yes, so they've sold the debt. Okay, I want to say two things on that. The first one a message to everybody who has a car repossessed. I get this so often, and you think, well, I've lost the car. That's the end of it. I've got no more to lose. But what that car was auctioned for doesn't necessarily, especially if it's to a big amount owing to the bank, it doesn't settle your bank debt for the car, and then you still have to pay, which is really terrible, devastating. But if you are repossessed, just contact the bank and find out what you still owe, because and start paying, even negotiate a very low amount, because it's going to come back and bite you. Now, in this case, it's true that in short, if you don't acknowledge a debt, you don't pay it, or you don't promise to pay. So if a debt collector calls and you say, well, I've got some money coming, I will pay in a few months, that's an acknowledgement of the debt. If you don't do any of that in 3 years, or most retail debts, they do prescribe and you're not required to pay. But Lily, it sounds like that you buckled to the pressure to pay this 14-year-old debt. I don't know when last you paid, but if you've made a payment in the last 3 years and you've acknowledged the debt, then unfortunately you have to carry on paying.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Lily, for the position that you are in, but that is a lesson for everybody's to understand that if your vehicle is repossessed, for example, as Wendy has said, it does not mean the deal is done. You still need to settle things with the bank. Esther in Bedford View, go ahead. Hi, Esther.
Hello.
Yes, Esther, please go ahead.
I don't know. Is it a connection with the Sunday Times?
Okay, go ahead, Esther.
Okay. I'm basically on the West Rand, let me put it that way. I have a yearly subscription with Arena Holdings. I pay every October. For 4 Sundays now, no newspapers have come to me. I phone them and it will be escalated. In the meantime, the man who delivers is deceased for 4 weeks. So obviously he cannot deliver the papers.
Yes.
Every Sunday it's 4 or 5 phone calls to Sunday Times and they will escalate. On Thursday I sent an email to Arena Holdings for attention of the manager.
This might be a quick and easy one, because obviously that is a media company and now you have mentioned the paper. Wendy, what is a quick solve here if it has been paid for but deliveries are not happening?
Okay, first of all, did you say the delivery man died?
Yeah, he's deceased for over 4 weeks. So for 4 weeks,
they haven't replaced him. Okay. So you don't need to pay for what you don't receive. The company has an email address. It starts with feedback@. And you write to them and you note which days, Sundays you didn't get your paper, and you say, I want you to pass a credit, please, so that when this October rolls around, you pay a much lower subscription to account for the fact that you didn't get those 4. And then say to them, if you are unable to replace the delivery person, then please cancel the subscription and refund me for the remaining 6 months of my subscription. I mean, you can't pay for something you don't get.
And I think, like what you said, Wendy, it's an issue of the delivery. They maybe have not replaced the
outsourced delivery
person.
Yes,
in that case.
But I would say start putting it in Esther, put it in an email. Send that email rather than making the call so you've got a record for yourself.
Thank you so much, Esther, for your call. We've got Chris in Pretoria. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Wendy, I just need clarity. Maybe you know about this. I have 2 funeral policies from one of the bank institutions. So now the one is paying, like when I started, the one is, I had it since 2012. The other one is 2017. So, and yeah. one is paying 100,000, the other one was paying 60, but now it's more than that, it's more than 200 each. So now I was told only about 3 years back or 2 years back that the institution, it doesn't pay, the bank doesn't pay more than 100,000 on a policy. So that means they are going to pay me just for one policy, not the other. So I called the department just and I'm
sorry, just to clarify, so does yeah. that mean it's the same underwriters? Because my understanding yeah. is if you got policies with two different companies, but they happen to be the same underwriter, they're not going to pay for both.
But then why do they allow me to have these two policies?
No, they will. Yeah. No, they will. I think that they, if you've got more than one policy, doesn't mean that only one will pay out, even if they're with the same institution. But I think it sounds like some kind of regulatory thing that their payout can't be more than 100,000 on that type of policy. Is that what the impression you've been given?
Yes, it says they only one policy is going to pay, and they are not paying more than 100,000, and they are both more than 100,000.
Okay, that is very odd. Please email yeah. that to me, Chris, because it doesn't sound right. Because you've been paying a premium under the impression that you that this is what yes. that pre, what the conditions yes. are, and now it's completely changed, and there'll be others affected, especially if it's a bank one. So, if you wouldn't mind just getting my details from the producer and include your policy numbers, I'd like to look into that for you, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The phone lines are ringing like crazy and so many messages coming through. Wendy, we will pick this up next week and maybe we can get a bit of information around the rules specifically with funeral policies.
Absolutely.
It's not the first time I'm hearing this story about we won't pay you more than, but they're absolutely okay. happy to take the money.
Yeah, so I'm hoping Chris sends that email sooner rather than later, and I'll use that as a basis to ask all these pertinent questions.
See you next time.